You may remain seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in every trouble, that we might be able to comfort others who are troubled. Let us pray. O Lord, let your kingdom come to us also, that we may believe your holy word. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow disciples of Christ, the night seemed like an endless echo of empty answers. Waiting was all they could do. Wait and wonder. They wondered how long the procedure would take. They wondered what the outcome would be. They wondered if she would survive. A friend I used to work with was telling me about a recent surgery that his little 4-year-old niece had to have on her heart. She was born with her organs misplaced and deformed and survived many surgeries just to live this long. And now at age 4, she's finally old enough to have the most important surgery, which is on her heart, to correct a valve complication. The surgery took 11 hours, so you can imagine for those parents, the night must have seemed like an endless echo of empty answers. If God is so powerful, why do we have to wait? Why do we have to wonder? Why do we have to worry? Now, it might not be a child in the hospital. Maybe there's something else you're afraid of. Things like money, health, your future, losing a job, losing control, losing a loved one. What is it that keeps you up at night? Now, the disciples were up at night experiencing that same thing, not just worrying about what might happen, but actually being in the midst of it. It's not that they were just anxious about the possibility of a storm. They were actually in the midst of it. God had led them right into it. The storm was real, and their lives were really on the line. And Jesus was sleeping. In today's sermon, we learn what it means to pray, "Thy kingdom come." This is not just a prayer that God would prevent something bad from happening, but it actually addresses what's going to happen when we're in the midst of the bad things. The coming of God's kingdom is about those moments where your fears actually come true. And so in our series from Mark, we learn another contrast of God's kingdom, a kingdom which is hidden but powerful. Evening was drawing near. It had been a long day, a long week. They'd been all over the countryside. Jesus had been performing miracles, forgiving sins, contending with the scribes, contending with Satan. And he had had enough. He had been shouting to the crowds from the boat for hours on end, parable upon parable, and now he just wanted to rest. So he tells them to set out for the other side of the Sea of Galilee, a journey that could be up to 8 miles. They were in a fishing boat. The sort of fishing boat that the disciples would have owned would typically have been 20 to 30 feet long, and the sanctuary is about 30 feet, so you can imagine the boat would be about the width of this sanctuary. There they are, piled into the boat, headed out to sea. At its widest point, the Sea of Galilee would have been close to 8 miles. So this was a journey that would have taken them into the night, the middle of the night, dark, when the thunder clouds start to roll in. The waves are bashing and busting against the boat, heaving and thrusting into the waves. They're getting soaked by the rain. The water is spritzing up in their face. And with each heave over the waves, the boat is taking on water. And where is Jesus? Curled up in the stern. They built the stern with a platform so that they could cast nets out from it. And there he is under the platform, his head on a sandbag, sleeping. Doesn't he care that they are about to die? Jesus, who had done so much for so many people, what is he going to do for them? It is an experience of God's hidden kingdom. Because as far as what we can see, what we can touch, what we experience, we might wonder if God has fallen asleep. We might wonder, does he really care? Job was wondering the same thing. Job, who had lost so much, lost his property, lost his family, lost his health. And the book of Job records this ongoing questioning, looking for answers in all the wrong places. Doesn't God care? The questions echo endlessly into empty answers because God is silent. For 40 chapters of Job, God doesn't say anything. It's this ongoing conversation between Job and his friends, wondering where God is at in all of this. For 40 chapters, God is silent until Job finally says, "God has taken away my justice. This is unfair." Is he just sleeping? It is an experience of the hidden kingdom. Not just worrying about the bad things that might happen, but actually seeing them come true. We're talking about two parents waiting in the hospital all night with nothing but endless echoes of empty answers. We're talking about your fears, those things that keep you up at night, the things you worry about, a downsizing that puts your job in jeopardy, a mistake that puts your friendship or marriage in jeopardy, an epidemic that puts your health in jeopardy, a disaster that puts your future in jeopardy, a sin that puts eternal life in jeopardy. And not just maybe these things will happen, but this is when these things actually do happen. And meanwhile, we discover that Jesus is asleep at the helm. Doesn't he care? Doesn't he have the power? Maybe he cares, but he just can't do it. There he is, so weak, so human that he needs to sleep. Maybe he can't help us. And like Job and the disciples, we experience what it means for God's kingdom to be hidden. But we persist. We pray. We wake up Jesus. Maybe it takes 40 chapters of your life before God answers, but he answers. You ask the question, "Don't you care?" And Jesus responds, "Don't you trust?" He rises up in the power of his word and he says, "Be silent." He brings that whole sea to a calm in an instant. And yet there's still a disturbance. Still, there is something that isn't so calm and still. Who is this? Why did they have to wake him? And what will they do when he's not around? That's why Jesus gets to the more important issue. Why are you so afraid? How is it that you do not trust? It's a rebuke not just of the waves, but of our sinful pride. Jesus is bringing down our proud waves. Here your proud waves must stop. He's rebuking our flesh, which wants all the answers, which wants the questions answered in the way we would answer them, which wants something not so hidden, but more tangible, more touchable, more tantalizing. Jesus rises up with the power of his word, and he says to us, "Be silent. This far and no farther. Here your proud waves must stop." He's not just rebuking the storm, he's rebuking our flesh. He hears us saying, waking him up, saying, you know, Jesus, you're not handling things very well. But his response is this. He speaks to Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you know. Who shut in the sea with its doors and said, this far you may come and no farther? Here your proud waves must stop. And the answer is this. If God is truly God, then we are not. And if he has set the limits of the sea, then we have not. And if he has complete control over the proud waves, then our proud waves must stop there. How is it that you have no trust? But this is where we discover the hidden kingdom. Something more powerful than we could ever have imagined. Here is where we learn what it means to pray, thy kingdom come. As Luther put it in the Small Catechism, God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit so that we would believe his word. The disciples don't realize this, that God's kingdom doesn't come in earthly glory or comfort or satisfaction. What they don't realize is hidden away in the stern is the power of heaven and earth. Hidden away in that weak human being who needs to rest, who's tired, who sleeps, is God's power. The only one who is worthy of his kingdom. Because Jesus alone was the one who was trusting. So much so that he could sleep. He took the form of a slave, not using his power to protect himself, but using it to accomplish something greater. In his weakness, God was strong. In his weakness, his helplessness, his servitude, his suffering, God's strength would be known, his power, his kingdom. It was on the cross that our proud waves crashed against him with God's wrath being poured out on him. And they said, if you are the Son of God, do something about it. And Jesus did something about it. He did the unthinkable. He did nothing when he was on the cross. Nothing to save himself. Because he knew this was the power to overcome our sins that we might have peace and calm. God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit so that by his grace we believe his holy word and live a godly life here in time and hereafter in eternity. Who can this be? Jesus' intent is to fill our empty answers with faith. Notice, he does respond. He does rise up and prove his power because he wants you to know he has all power in heaven and on earth. He has control over everything that's going on in your life. But his goal is not to make your life comfortable, but to make your life comforted. So he fills your empty faith by demonstrating not just his power over wind and wave, but over death itself. Because ultimately, that's where our fear comes from. Death. The possibility that someone we love might die. The idea of facing it ourselves. That's where it all comes from. Because death is the one thing that we have absolutely no control over. It can come at any time. It makes us lose all control. But that is where Jesus proves who he really is. When death can't hold him. And in his resurrection, the power of the kingdom comes to us so that we would not be bound by fear of death or any evil. And nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. That's what calms our soul in the midst of the storms. So that we can climb up into the stern, lay our head on the pillow, and rest with Jesus, knowing God will steer the ship. Whether it's downsizing at work, mistakes in your relationship, health concerns, a disaster in your life, even a particular sin or series of sins that you've committed, God's kingdom has overcome it all, and you are forgiven. So we can turn with the psalmist to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will never slumber and will never sleep. Yes, that night seemed like an endless echo of empty answers. Waiting and waiting, that's all they could do. Waiting and wondering. After 11 hours in surgery, they would finally get some answers. But maybe not the answers they were looking for. The doctor comes out and tells them their daughter is stable, but the surgery is not complete. He tells them they're going to need to come back in August for more surgery before they can complete the procedure. More waiting, more wondering, more worrying, but more opportunity. Opportunity for family and friends to pray, "Thy kingdom come." More opportunity to discover a kingdom which doesn't rest in how what we see or what we touch or what we feel, but that is powerful beyond any earthly power, which performs a miracle on our heart that cannot be overcome even by death. A surgery of our spiritual heart that would strengthen it eternally. For there in your heart is where God's kingdom reigns and where his promise to raise us up on the last day strengthens us to eternal life. A kingdom which comes when he gives us his Holy Spirit and helps us to believe his word. A word which says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below." Amen. We rest. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.